Hey everyone, and welcome back to another half-episode of Random Chatterings. I am Arlil Rodriguez, and yep, we're going to talk about virginity. So, might as well start from the top. I am a virgin. I am 24 years old, and I am a virgin. And this has actually been something I've wanted to talk about for a very, very long time, but I've tried to figure out, like, how to format this, how to express it, and I wanted to find the right way of doing it. The way I was going to do it originally was that I was going to do a 10-minute stand-up routine about virginity, because I noticed that people don't really talk about their virginity, or they don't, like, focus on virginity as a topic. And I really sincerely tried to come up with jokes. Like, I tried just to stand around my dorm room one day, and I just walked around this, or I go, well, this being a virgin really sucks, or something, I don't know. Just trying to find ways of finding a comical spin to it, but when I thought about it, and then in hindsight, I sounded really bitter being a virgin. And that was because of a lot of elements that I don't really need to go into, and we're not going to go into for today's talk. But no, this is something I'm very serious about, because it's tricky to talk about it, one, being open about it, sincere about it, and two, there's already, like, a stigma against virgins. I think it's starting to simmer out, because I think one time I asked some people about being a virgin, and they said, oh, no, I haven't heard about this, or I haven't heard about these aspects of pop culture. But it's like, maybe not recently, but more, for the history of the world, basically, there's always been jokes about virgins. The assumptions that, well, this is kind of dark, but the virgin, of course, the school shooter is the virgin who, you know, didn't get laid. So they're releasing their sexual frustrations out in a horrific way. But then even beyond that, like Revenge of the Nerds, like these scrawny, puny little guys who don't get any action, and all of a sudden they have all the sex, and all of a sudden they're actually become man. They're manly now. Manly now, whatever the fucking word is. And this is a bit of an unfair example because it actually kind of plays around with the trope, but the 40-year-old virgin was kind of that, like someone, you're assuming it was someone just completely repressed. I mean, Steve Carell did a great job in that film, but the whole point of it was like, oh, I don't know anything about sex, and he kind of starts getting introduced a little bit more to the more kinkier side of life by trying to have sex finally, and like his friends are saying, wait, you haven't had sex in your 40? What's wrong with you? I think that there's still more of a positive slant to that, and that is a fantastic movie, but there is still that assumption of a virgin just being, you know, incapable, that they haven't experienced the world, they haven't seen what the world's all about, and that they behave a certain way, like they're cleaner than other people. It's a very weird assumption, but when you think about it, and when you start thinking of examples yourselves, you'll start to think, oh yeah, no, this is everywhere. And it's existed in pop culture for a very, very long time. For me, though, I guess why it's kind of difficult for me to, or it has been difficult for me to find a venue to talk about this is because, and unfortunately I have to bring this up, I grew up in a Christian household. And there's assumptions about you're pretty much, it's expected to be a virgin. And there's laws in the Bible. And I'm only going to talk about Christianity because that's particularly my background. And just from my own experience, if I have some information wrong, please feel free to mention it in the comments, and I will respond to them in maybe in a future minisode, maybe. But from my understanding, in the Bible, this implication that if you have sex before marriage, you're impure, or you're a damaged product. And some stories I've heard, which is kind of cute, but then when you really think about it, it's like, how the fuck did you do that? Like, not kissing once, like holding hands maybe, or like showing intimacy, like hugging and things like that, but never like fucking, just to put it very bluntly. Maybe that might be too blunt. I'll just say sex. Having sex, I'm sure it's more complicated than that, and of course sex isn't the only aspect of a relationship, but it is a pretty important aspect of that relationship. And for me, I always just had these assumptions about myself personally. I mean, then you start learning about sex and sex ed, like, depending on what kind of school you go to. I definitely know that there are some schools that do try to promote abstinence-only kind of things, but they don't really say anything about, you know, like, condoms and being sure you're ready to go. And if there's going to be more proof that I don't know anything about sex, listen to how I'm describing just preparing for sex. I don't know shit about this. I really don't. But basically, the whole point is that sex is seen as this holy thing. And I'm just, like, again, just my perspective. Sex is this holy process, this beautiful, otherworldly process that you get to share with another person, the person you really believe in, the person you really trust. And they're the only person you're going to have sex with the whole time. And as a teenager, that's an incredibly beautiful thing in some ways, but then like a very naive thing to believe as well, because we masturbate all the time as teenagers. We will find ways to fuck whatever we can in any way that we can. And if it's not with a person, it'll be the floor. It'll be a cantaloupe, as you know, like putting the cantaloupe in the microwave. We'll find a way to fuck. And if we're not informed of how to do it in a safe way, we're going to get in trouble. But I can only tell you and only briefly hint on how I got my rocks off, because I didn't have a sexual partner. But you're going to masturbate some way or another, or you're going to get those frustrations out. And I think it's kind of irresponsible to, I mean, yeah, maybe if it's embedded in the religion itself, and you're promoting it. I think I went to a meeting or something, and they even promoted against pornography or even just masturbation in general, just trying to repress those urges. And I think that's a very dangerous way to think about it. But like, not just because of not being able to release your sexual needs, but also because, and I'm just gonna go back to myself as a personal example. You could become incredibly insecure about your own sexuality, about your own body, because no one wants to have sex with you. And that's not exactly true. Maybe you just haven't met the right person or something like that. But, you know, you go on, let's say, 5 years of your college career, and everyone you know gets married, or you see, like, everyone holding hands, kissing, and you get very insecure about yourself, and you just start thinking, you start to value yourself based on your body. And based on how valuable it really is. And when no one wants to have sex with you, you just think, I'm worthless. And, you know, it sounds silly, but I'm sure a lot of people have felt this way. And there's a sense of relief, though. I'm imagining when you can finally tell people that, I'm not a virgin anymore, someone fucked me, I'm good to go. And that's great and all, but should having sex really be such an accomplishment? Should it really... And going back to the pop culture thing, there's so many fucking movies about, like, the teenage guy who wants to lose his virginity before singer prom or before on his senior year, that shit like that. Like, some kind of prize or some kind of, you know, accomplishment from having sex. And sex is just a biological function that we all can do. And for people who are insecure, and not just for people who are insecure, but people who have issues with their own bodies, with their own body image, seeing how they're just seem like no one has to have sex with them, they can get depressed and they can get anxious, and in some instances they can get very bitter about the world around them, and they aren't willing to you know, they can't express themselves about it because it's something that's like laughed upon, or just it's not taken seriously, and it's hard to, you know, open up about it the way I currently am. Hi there. You might notice that this part sounds a little bit different, maybe like recorded in a different environment and with a different microphone. Well, that's because I decided that I wasn't satisfied with how I ended the Minnesota originally. And I'll get into that a little bit later. But really, the reason I'm recording this, and honestly, I was not expecting to record a sequel of sorts to the Louis C.K. recording already, but there's been a lot more sexual assault allegations and really powerful men that have had to step down or that they've been fired from their employers. And the one that really made me reconsider the context of what I was talking about originally was John Lasseter, actually. For those who don't know, John Lasseter was the director of Toy Story, and he is, what's the right? I think he's the current chief executive officer of
Disney Animation. So basically, he makes the decisions about what films are being distributed and the creative ideas. I don't know the specifics of it, but I just know that he's a big, big deal in animation. And apparently, like a lot of people, he's also did a lot of very gross things. There's an article all about it, I think from the Hollywood Reporter, about some of this is the most fucked up of all. The Lassiter, there was a move that women had to do to defend themselves from him trying to touch their vagina, and it's just, oh god. It's the kind of thing that you hear it and you don't want to believe it, but again, it's the same thing about no matter how powerful or influential this figure is, or how important they are, they have to be punished. I think in Lassiter's case, he's taken a 6-month hiatus from all animation duties. And it got me to thinking about some of the things that I was talking about in this virginity talk, and how a lot of the recent news stories have kind of colored the conversation in a different way than I would have anticipated. And I know that my past selves mentioned bitterness and how we're not going to talk about that. But unfortunately, past me, we do have to bring it up because it is a very valid point in understanding the mentality of some of the people that think that because they have power, they can just take advantage of women in that kind of way. So it's very hard for me to bring this up, but I am guilty of acting like a nice guy. And there's actually a subreddit about this, I think. It's like, are nice guys? And basically what I'm kind of admitting to. So in the case of nice guys, it's like someone who treats someone kindly, a friend or something like that. And for the nice guy, they're trying to treat them like with the utmost respect and all that. But the ulterior motive is for them to eventually want the friend to date them. So I want to bring a bit more context of what that bitterness was about. Because it's important to understand some of the stuff that I was mentioning earlier about how a culture of pervasive sexual harassment can persist in, well, not just Hollywood, but any industry. So there was someone in my life that I really wanted to date, and I put a lot of pressure on them to dating. And it got to a point where it became like I had started developing a very toxic perspective about it, and I actually couldn't talk to them for several months because I had gotten the impression that I was in the wrong. And what was actually true is that I was wrong, and I had been wrong the whole time. Things kind of worked out, though, in a cosmic sense. I was punished for that mentality. I had to do a lot of self-reflection and try to figure out why my perspective was wrong. And why I think I felt so disgusted that I had that perspective in to begin with. And it just starts out so innocently. It's just, well, you know, why wouldn't they date me? And it's a potential way that, you know, a powerful person could just say, well, of course they'll do whatever I say, because if they don't, I can ruin them. And I realized that during that time that I was using my influence to get something I wanted. And I'm so disgusted with myself. And I still am. It's still something I'm kind of dealing with even now. And that's where I kind of think that some of the stuff that I was talking about being a virgin, I think it's valid, but not all of it was. And especially now with all of these allegations and the stories that keep coming up, just like various examples of various powerful men, it just reminds me that as a man, yeah, maybe I'm a minority, but I'm still a man. And that means I do have an amount of influence that I need to be aware of. And it's been a lesson I've had, and I've been learning, and I continue to learn day by day. And I think I wanted to just kind of just push it all under virginity, and it's just insecurity. But no amount of insecurity and depression validates any kind of immoral and reprehensible behavior, even the small stuff. So I'm sorry for acting like a nice guy, and especially in that way. And I can only strive to become a better person and not devolve into another cog of the sexual harassment machine. Okay, alright. So now I guess I need to explain why I decided to re-record this ending. And that's because I felt like the original ending was a lot more motivational, and one, it sounded kind of hypocritical, especially with what I just talked about now. And I felt like it wasn't me. It just, I can't talk about the experience of being a virgin as a woman could be completely different. Could be, what am I talking about? Can be. Is completely different from being a virgin as a man. And I had no right to try to convince someone of something that's based on, you know, something that I went through. And I didn't want to just be someone else who's trying to convince someone of something they didn't know about. Because I don't know anything. Clearly I don't know anything from just what I just talked about already. I'm a flawed person. And rather than talk about that, well, not that. But I mean, like, rather than trying to convince someone of anything, instead what I'll talk about is that I accepted my virginity. Eventually. It took a lot of, you know, like I said before, self-reflection, just assessing, just, you know, weighing my hands together and saying, like, does this really matter? And eventually I decided that I'm not gonna let my virginity define who I am. But sometimes there's many nights when I'm just alone and I get very lonely and depressed. So it's still something that lingers in my mind. And it's not as pervasive as it was in college, but it's still there. And it's still something I have to work on. And those are my thoughts on my virginity. This has been Random Chatterings. Thanks for listening, everybody.